Podcast 38, Jesus Heals a Man with Leprosy. The Gospel reading for today's podcast is Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. Today's Gospel reading is a rather puzzling incident in the life of Jesus, as told through Mark. But before we talk about the detail of this incident, I want to reflect on what it means to have a dreaded disease. These days, of course, we immediately think of COVID-19. And maybe one of the more infectious variants, such as the South African strain. In earlier times in New Zealand, we had other dreaded diseases like polio and tuberculosis or TB. There used to be TB sanatoriums dotted across the country where people went to recover or to die. And in 2017, tuberculosis was the biggest worldwide killer of infectious diseases. Today we still have the dreaded C word, cancer, and probably everyone sitting here today has someone they know, a friend, a work colleague, a relative, a family member, that has been affected by cancer. In some cases, thank God, people are treated and recover. In other cases, the outcome is more sad and tragic. My sister died of cancer at the age of 73, just 5 years older than I am now. All of this poses a rather large question, which we as Christians have to grapple with, which is, why does God allow suffering? Now, leprosy was part of that suffering in Jesus' day, and leprosy is still with us in this modern day and age, although we know a lot more about how leprosy works, including the fact that it's not very infectious. Christian ministry to lepers considers to this day, most notably through agencies such as the Leprosy Mission, which some of you may support. However, the knowledge about the low infectiousness level of leprosy was not known in Jesus' day. Lepers were shunned by ordinary society, and they weren't touched by other people. They lived in small camps outside villages and cities, in lonely places, and people avoided any contact with them. And in this case, Jesus is approached by a leper, which is in itself unusual. Lepers avoided ordinary people, and people avoided lepers. And this leper kneels before Jesus and asks him quite a challenging question. If you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, Jesus' response is a mixture of indignation and compassion. If you look at the page in your pew Bible, you'll see that the translation in the main body of the text says, Jesus was indignant. But if you look at the footnote about this verse at the bottom of the page, an alternative is suggested. Many manuscripts, Jesus was filled with compassion. So indignation and compassion, I think both of these are elements of Jesus' response. What is Jesus indignant about? The fact that his willingness to heal this person has been questioned? Or the fact that a human being is suffering? His reply, I am willing, be clean, implies that it is about his willingness to heal the leper. Which leads to another problematic question that Christians have to grapple with. If God is willing to heal, why do our prayers for healing seem to go unanswered sometimes? Another difficult question. Note that Jesus touched the man. So this was a bold thing to do. Not only there was the danger of disease, but also touching a leper made Jesus ritually unclean in Jewish eyes and would require all sorts of cleansing and purification rites if he chose to do that. Now I want to consider another element of this incident, Jesus warning the man not to say anything about his healing, but to go and present himself to the priests for them to declare him ritually clean. If we look at the previous part of this first chapter of Mark, Mark tells us how Jesus has called the first disciples and done some ministry at and around Capernaum. In verses 21 to 28, he He drives out an evil spirit from a man, and in verse 28 recalls that news about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. In the next group of verses, Jesus performs many healings in the town of Capernaum, and Mark records that the whole town gathered at the door. Then Jesus goes out to pray in a solitary place, and when the disciples come looking for him, they say, "Everyone is looking for you." And Jesus' reply is, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he travelled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. And then we come to this instant of today's gospel where Jesus heals a man who's got leprosy. And we can see from these previous verses that Jesus is already in the public eye. Jesus' actions up to this point in this chapter in Mark are not the actions of a man who wants to stay hidden, out of sight, and away from the public eye. Yet after Jesus is healed, this man of leprosy, he gives him a warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing, as a testimony to them." In other words, Jesus tells the man to fulfill the traditional requirements of the Jewish law, laid down by God to Moses in Leviticus 14, to certify his cleansing of leprosy. And these requirements are quite elaborate and detailed. They're not simple or quick. It involves at least a week of ritual before the man can be pronounced clean by the priests in Jerusalem. Some Bible commentators explain Jesus' command to the man not to tell anyone about his healing as Jesus wanting to keep a low profile and not expose himself to the attention of the chief priests and the scribes in this early part of his ministry. But I think that argument's very weak because of the previous outline I've given you from the verses prior to this in the first chapter of Mark. Jesus is out in the public eye already. He's launched his public ministry in the previous part of the chapter. The only explanation I can think of for Jesus' warning to the man that makes any sense is that Jesus is a very conscientious Jew. He knows the law, he knows the process the law requires, and he tells the man to do it. As God's son, he doesn't overturn the Torah and say, "Look, don't worry about this old stuff. I've come to set you free. I've healed you. It's all good. Away you go." In fact, he says the exact opposite in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount. "Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, I don't think Jesus wanted us as his disciples to be legalistic, law-following nitpickers like the Pharisees. But I think the law is an expression of holiness. It is about, at the end of the day, God's holiness. And Jesus calls his disciples to holiness with even stricter discipline than the Pharisees and teachers of the law, who, as we know, were sticklers for keeping all the minute details of the law. So my takeaways from this passage are three. Firstly, Jesus is compassionate to all who suffer. Secondly, sometimes, like the man who was healed, we run off and do our own thing, not what God asks us to do. And thirdly, Jesus' call to obey the law is a call to all of us to that high level of holiness that holds God in awe.